KMAN.
And we now have with us Riley County Police Director Brad Schoen. Also, Karen Smothers is joining us today, and she is the Assistant Director, Clinical Director, Pawnee Mental Health, and supervises the co-responders that I know we're hearing so much about when it comes to mental health issues, and we will get with Karen momentarily. But first, Director, you guys have been busy this week.
A little bit. So we get paid for.
And I know a lot of drug-related arrests. I think I counted a dozen at last count with the one today. So just, you know, I don't know. I guess I don't know how much you can tell us about that.
Well, not a lot. We've talked with the county attorney's office about that. Most of that information, if anything, comes out before trial is going to have to come from their office. But I can say that it was a result of an ongoing, rather lengthy investigation. You know, you don't put those things together overnight, obviously. You know, we always take great pride and, frankly, just a little amount of joy in being able to do that, because these are people who aren't doing the community any service, frankly. We try to focus, work our way up the food chain and find the providers. And, you know, you see lots of arrests, and that just usually means that we spend a good amount of time investigating the matter. And, you know, we kind of let it build, let the investigation build, and at some point in time you have to make a decision that now's the time to go. We've gotten as far as we're going to get with this. And when we felt we'd gotten that far with this particular investigation, then of course we got with the county attorney's office and the courts, obtained warrants, and what you saw coming out in the media releases happened. So, yeah, there's been a good amount of arrests.
And we were told, too, there was, I think, one perhaps where USD 383 was notified pretty close to the high school. I think they had a lockout for 20
minutes.
Yeah,
it wasn't really long. I saw the time. I was going to say 40 minutes, but whatever it wasn't real long. It was over the lunch hour. In fact, we were trying to time it so that we could, get that to happen when school wasn't in. But you kind of lose control of these things as they go on, at least in terms of the everything happening on a set schedule, because it just – you've got certain things you need to get done before you can get to other things. And by the time we got to that one, school was in session. So we notified them and let them know. And they, I think they did a lockout and until, you know, we'd resolved the situation at that particular address. And once we had, then, of course, you know, the problem goes away and things return to normal at the school.
Another story we've been following has to do with a law enforcement chase in northern Riley County. It did not originate in Riley County. And you just got the very latest on that. You're going to update us on it and kind of curious about what happened with that?
Right. We're still waiting for, the public may or may not know this, but every time our officers are engaged in a pursuit in any manner, we have a report that they have to file in order to make sure all our policies were followed and that sort of thing. And in this particular case, though, the pursuit originated outside our county in Marshall County. The Highway Patrol was involved. Eventually, we became involved, but I don't think we weren't actively pursuing the subject. However, we were in the area since it was in Riley County and prepared to offer assistance. And at some point in time, the individual drove the car into a cornfield. There were two subjects in it, a male and a female. We ended up, catching up with the female. The guy apparently eluded everybody. And we have some information indicates he later picked up a tractor and drove it around in furtherance of his escape. But last I checked, we still hadn't come up with that guy. So as it turns out, I think the pursuit commenced in Marshall County, and it was a stolen vehicle. So I'm sure they're still investigating that. That'll primarily be their case, where we just basically offered assistance and happened to have the good great misfortune of being the county in which the pursuit ended, because that's where he drove into the cornfield. So
now Wakefield, I think, had some involvement. I was thinking they were Clay County, but I don't know. That's maybe an aside. But
yeah, word comes out on these things. Sometimes it gets confused at the start. The latest word I got just called in a few minutes ago was that it started in Marshall County. I can't tell you that I know where.
Okay. Appreciate that. I know we had a listener call us and notify us that they knew something was going on, so appreciate that update. Well, let's introduce Karen to the picture here. And again, as I mentioned, Karen, you're in charge of, I guess, supervising the co-responders and some of the things you're doing that way. I know that we've been talking about this for months, really even years, I guess, that we could venture to say.
It's been a while coming, yeah.
Yeah, and just, you know, a little bit about what you do and how help the program's going right now.
Yeah, thank you. We're really excited about the co-responder program and have seen already a lot of success and interaction with the community, very positive interaction with the community. So currently we have two co-responders. They're on shift with PD, with the police department, and can be called out by dispatch, can be activated a lot of different ways. Seems like they do a lot of responses to requests for welfare checks, and we'll take a police officer with them. They do follow-ups to calls that may have happened when they were off shift that may have involved someone who was struggling with mental health problems, whether they didn't want treatment at that time, and we are concerned about them. We'll follow up with them the next day. So they're out in the community, going to people's homes, checking in on folks, kind of engaging them and trying to outreach to them to get them into treatment. And that may be at Pawnee Mental Health, that may be going to the hospital, that may be getting substance use treatment, that may be connecting to another mental health professional in the community.
And I know, Director, we've been hearing, and I think there was actually a joint city-county-county meeting this last week about mental health and how things were going, and some pretty staggering numbers, too. I mean, you continue to see a lot.
There are, but let me back up to what she was just saying. All that stuff she was describing, we don't do that. That's that's not cop stuff. But that's all the stuff that cops are kind of getting thrown into the middle of. And it had become increasingly an issue. And again, I've said this several times, I'm not going to go back and rehash my disdain for the state's handling of mental health care and the funding cuts and all that sort of stuff. But it's still there floating in the background. But by virtue of all that happening over the years, this is exactly the sort of thing the cops ended up doing. And frankly, it's not our wheelhouse. We're not particularly good at it. We're not trained for it. And it's not part of the organization's mission or culture. So to have somebody who actually knows what they're doing, these two mental health co-responders, working for someone, I sitting here beside me today, I thought they sent you to keep an eye on me, by the way.
Yeah. A little bit of that, too.
Probably. This is great. This is good stuff. I mean, this genuinely helps these people, and it provides them assistance that we weren't able to provide, except maybe, you know, in rare instances or unusual circumstances where it was necessary that we take them into protective custody because they're a danger to themselves or others. But that's a pretty high bar. And now all these people below that bar have access to assistance and referrals and resources and people showing up at their door. Oh, you told me not to do that.
No, I like that. That actually gives a little that sound effect.
Checking on them. You know, I mean, this is good stuff. So I'm all in favor of it, and it's been a long time coming, but it's good that we have it here finally.
Well, and it's interesting. I was just kind of figuring up in my head. It's been a year and a half since we did our Silent Crisis series, and I'll never forget Captains Josh Kyle, Captain Kurt Moldrup, of course, that handles corrections facility there, the frustration and the numbers of calls on a daily basis. We even hear some on our scanner, mm-hmm. And I know it's obvious, Karen, that those folks are needed and just the variety of things that they respond to. I mean,
Right. I'm glad you brought up kind of that Silent Crisis series you did. Some of the things that we've been able to do from since then is one of the things Captain Moldrup has talked a lot about is seeing the amount of mental health in the jails or the need for treatment in the jails. And so one of our co-responders specifically has been doing a lot of treatment in the jails, whether it be individual therapy, and we have enough participation right now, she's wanting to start a group so that people, especially if they have substance use disorders, are in a place where they don't have access to the substance, so they may be involuntarily detoxing from the substance, maybe have the opportunity to think through, okay, I'm not around this association of people that I had been with. It's time to reflect and decide, you know, this is a great time to make a new start. And so we have Jesse, one of our co-responders, and Jalen providing services down even in the jail, which was something kind of a bonus from this co-responder mm-hmm. program because we expected most of it to be in outreach out in the community, and they are, but we're balancing that with actually being in the jail and providing treatment, and that's been very successful as well.
Now, Brad, go ahead.
I was just going to say, those people in the jail, keep in mind, they were in the community before they came to the jail, and they're going to be back in the community. They're not with us to stay forever. I mean, it's not going to happen that way. It just doesn't happen that way. And so to have them down there paying attention to those folks is a good thing. You know, I'm going to say going rates for housing an inmate, we don't do it very often, but, you know, occasionally there's someone from Riley County who gets in trouble somewhere else, and in order to maintain their job, we let them do their time in our jail. Well, there's a billing rate that's fairly common around the state, and it runs anywhere between $60 and $80. But let's just say it's $70, and you've got someone who's doing 100 days. There's $7,000 that taxpayers are paying to house that individual in the jail. And then you look at how much this program costs, and if they can prevent any number of these people from returning to jail by virtue of having dealt with their substance abuse issues or their mental health issues and, you know, keeping an eye on them when they get out, this is a good thing because, it's kind of like a pay me now or pay me later sort of thing. And I'm going to suggest, I think it's probably more expensive to pay me later when it comes to confining people in the jail. And that was one of the initial concerns we had was, you know, there are a number of people who end up in jail that if appropriate services are made available to them or if they're aware of them, they may not end up there. So now not only is Pawnee doing all the things they have been doing in the past for all these people who they encounter with mental health issues or substance abuse issues, but they have direct access to people who are suffering as a result of that. Those people are the people in our jail. And so they're saying, what can we do to help those out so they don't end up back here again?
Let's go ahead and take a break. It is now 9:18, and we have with us Riley County Police Director Brad Schoen and also Karen Smothers, and she's Assistant Director, Clinical Director, Pawnee Mental Health, and supervises the mental health co-responders. A reminder, if you have questions or comments, 537-1350, toll-free, 866-776-1350. You're listening to In Focus.
KMAN Morning News brought to you by Manhattan Appliance and Sleep Source, your appliance specialist.